Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. As we've been talking about, the greatest preacher and teacher of all time preached the greatest sermon of all time, and it's recorded for us in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. And today we're going to look at but a small phrase that is used in this great sermon, and we're going to talk about it. In Matthew 6 and verse 9, Jesus is talking about prayer. And in that prayer, he begins by, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." We don't use that word hallowed much today. And probably for many of us, we don't know what that word means. So I want to leave you hanging there just for a bit, and we're going to come back to that and see if we can't figure out what that word means and how Jesus uses that word. A few passages that I'd like to begin with to talk about this idea of hallowed be thy name. How about a few of these verses? Psalms 34 and verse 3. "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Isaiah said, "They will sanctify my name and will stand in awe of the God of Israel." Again, the psalmist, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Just as a side, have you ever heard anyone say, "You shouldn't be afraid of God"? Is there a difference between being afraid and being fearful? So we're going to talk about respect and reverence this morning. And when we talk about those two words, they are so much akin, but they're two different words in the Bible. When we talk about the idea of respect, the definition really is the idea of fear, terror, reverence. Doesn't it sound a little bit puzzling to you that those three words are used together? Fear and terror and reverence. Some synonyms of that would simply be the idea to appreciate, to admire, to honor. Really doesn't seem quite right that appreciate and fear go in the same category. An antonym for respect is disregard or dishonor. I'll give you some examples. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, there's a statement made about the first century Christians, and the text says, "So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it continued to increase." So another acceptable English word for fear would be terror, would be reverence. Appreciate, admire, honor. Another passage is in Romans chapter 3 and in verse 18, this word is used again. And this time, notice, "There is no fear of God before their eyes." There's no appreciation. There's no admiration. There's no honoring. There's no reverence. There's no terror. Fear. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, this comes right after Paul talked about the idea of us being judged. And he said in verse 10, he said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Then he says, "Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men." So standing before the judgment of God, going to be judged of all of our deeds, good or bad, because that's going to happen, Paul says, "Therefore, knowing the fear or the terror or the reverence or the honor or admiration of God." Finally, one other passage in Philippians 2 and verse 12, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now, these are all the same words here. Okay, I got a story for you. How many of you have ever gone hunting? Just raise your hand. How many has gone hunting? Just one? Just one person? Two persons. Well, all of you have been to Walmart, right? You've gone hunting, right? Trying to find that one item that you can't. You've gone every aisle three times and you're hunting, right? Okay. Well, it's just like that, except completely different. Okay, so let's think about the idea of being in a deer stand. You get what that is, right? Next to a tree, or maybe even freestanding. It's kind of high off the ground. You get up there and real early in the morning and watch for a deer. Now, you all have deer up here, right? There's deer, right? Do you all have bears up here? No bears? Oh, man, no bears?
Used to.
Used to.
Starting to come back.
Wow. All right, so you're in the deer stand, and you're hunting, you're looking for deer, you're keeping a sharp lookout, you know. And all of a sudden, you look, and coming down the path there is a huge, not just a bear, grizzly bear. Now, grizzly bears are like the size of one of the old Volkswagens. Huge. And you're rubbing your eyes, and it's real early in the morning, and you're focusing, and you're thinking, wow, that is not a deer. It's too big to be a raccoon. It's a bear. So what's your next move? Because he's coming right towards your deer stand and he sees you. And you see him. And he's lifting up that big head and he's sniffing and he keeps coming right toward you. What you gonna do? Now you've got a deer gun. So you're thinking, okay, if I shoot this humongous bear with this deer gun, it's just going to make him mad. You've got this big, huge knife, Bowie knife on your side. If he comes down here, I'm just going to jump out of the tree and I'm going to pull out my knife and I'm going to cut his ears off. Then you think, that would not be a good idea. Let me ask you a question. Do you fear that bear? Do you respect that bear? Do you admire that bear? Do you know what he can do? Do you know how powerful he is? Do you know how strong he is? And he opens up that big paw of his. It's just this big and big old claws. Just one swipe. You'd be toast. You think, well, I'll just jump down out of this tree and run. And then you think, Bears can run really, really, really fast. I haven't got a chance. You got all those emotions there? That's just the word we read in the New Testament. That's that word. Now, reverence, very similar word. The word piety sometimes is used in the English. Fear of God, respect. Some synonyms, high regard, great respect, appreciate. An antonym was to scorn or to not take seriously. Can you see how those words are very, very much twins? In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, that word is used, and listen to it. In the days of his flesh, when he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and who was heard because of his piety. This is Jesus praying. And he has piety. What is that? Fear of God and respect. High regard, great respect, appreciation. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence, that's our word, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Again, Noah built this ark. Why? Because of fear of God. Because of respect. Because of high regard, great respect, appreciation. Any of you all got antique dishes? Any of you got antique dishes? Maybe something that's been in your family for generations? I've got a little granddaughter. She's less than two. And if we come over to your house and this special bowl that you have that has been in your family for since came over in the Mayflower. So my granddaughter sees that and she would like to play with it. Would you take it down and let her play with it? She's just less than 2 years old. Why? Well, because you appreciate this piece of fine china. You have great respect for it. You have high regard. And so you protect it. You don't want it in any way, shape, or form being disrespected or in any way harmed. I want you to keep those two words in your mind as we go a little bit further in our lesson. Do you remember how we started off? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What are we talking about? Maybe respect and reverence for God? I want to bring in another important point, and I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. Now, that's way back in the Bible, Old Testament. And we're just going to read one verse, chapter 22, verse 26. Please take the time to go back and examine that a little bit closer in its context. But this verse is pretty self-explanatory. The text says, her priest have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy and the profane, and they have not taught the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they hide their eyes from my Sabbaths and I am profaned among them. This is talk about the Levitical priesthood. Ezekiel was, he was in Babylonian captivity. He's a contemporary with Jeremiah. Jeremiah remained in Israel, in Jerusalem. And they both prophesy concerning God's people. And the state of the Jewish religion is that the priest had no respect for God. They had no reverence for God. And so what they basically had done, according to this passage, they treated the holy and the profane the same. They treated the unclean and the clean the same. They made no distinctions. The idea of holy means to set apart for God. Let's use as an example. This building, how many times do we say, well, we're here to worship God, you know, we could just as well meet out there in that field, and I think that's true, don't y'all? We could meet out there in that field, and we could worship God. We could meet in the parking lot. We could worship God. This building is not holy. We are holy unto God. We are the temple of God. We are the people of God. But there is a sense in which this building is holy. It is separate and set apart for holy things. The Lord's money was used to purchase this building. Now again, there is a significant difference in bowing down and worshiping the walls and the pews as opposed to appreciating and respecting the fact that the Lord's money purchased this for a purpose. We're commanded to assemble. We're at liberty to provide a place to assemble. And using the Lord's money for this place makes this place a consecrated place, a place set apart to worship God. Do you understand that? Well, the priests during the Babylonian captivity, they made no distinction between the clean and the unclean. And that's a mistake. And it's still a mistake today. When we talk about the idea of holy things, we're talking about religious awe or reverence for, respect for. Just to make it more clear, we take care of the building. We clean it. We don't disrespect it. And we don't allow anybody to come in here and mistreat it or tear it up or whatever. And we try to keep it looking good. That's out of respect and appreciation. And sometimes, you know, I've been in places where, you know, elders have to get up and remind people of that, because people sometimes treat the building and what has been here for worship purposes, they treat it worse than they do their own home. In Leviticus chapter 10, it is a very familiar story of Nadab and Abihu. And I just want you to notice here something that is pretty interesting. In verse 1, now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. Now, most usually this passage is used, and well, it should be, in talking about worshiping God in a way that he's not commanded. We should worship God the way he commands us, fulfilling the law, what God has said. But there's something else of this passage that sometimes I believe is overlooked. In verse 2, and fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Did the Lord take seriously what he had told them to do? Were they priests? Were they supposed to obey God? Yes. They were to be examples to the flock, to the children of Israel, to obey God in every sense of the word. Verse 3, then Moses said to Aaron, this is interesting, these are Aaron's sons that have been struck dead by God. Now how would a father react when his sons have been struck dead? Regardless of the reason, your sons are struck dead. Would it upset you? Would it concern you? Would you be angry? Moses says to Aaron, it is what the Lord spoke. By those who come near me, I will be treated as holy. And before all the people, I will be honored. So Aaron therefore kept silent. Aaron knew that his sons was disrespecting God. God struck them dead. Aaron was about to throw a fit and be angry at who? God. Moses intervenes and says, do you remember what the Lord said? I will be treated holy. You're in a deer stand. The bear's coming. You have no respect, no appreciation whatsoever for that bear. You come down out of that tree with no gun, with no knife, and you go up and you start fussing and throwing rocks and throwing a big stick at this bear because you have no appreciation for him. Is that going to turn out well? The same is true with God. You go to someone's house and you take their very, 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 very precious china bowl and you go up there and start playing around and just flipping it up in the air and tossing it, and then all of a sudden it drops and busts all the pieces, and you just very flippantly say, oh, well, sorry about that. Is that going to go well with you? Neither is it going to go well with God. Are you getting the point here? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Do you respect God? Do you appreciate him? Or is he just the old man upstairs? Ah, me and God, we buds, man. We go way back. Who are you talking to? Who are you talking about? You're not talking about a man or an animal or a thing. You're talking about God. Show some respect, reverence, appreciation. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Terror? Yes. The Lord's Day. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Is the Lord's Day anything special? Whose day is it? The Lord's Day. Who? The Lord's Day. Is it my day? It's the Lord's Day. Do we respect and appreciate that day? Worship. Acts 2 and verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. In Psalms chapter 2, and there are a great many passages that we could read and talk about just in worship to God and so forth, but this passage says, worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. When you sing praises to God, how do you sing? When you pray to God, how do you pray? When you eat the Lord's Supper, how do you do that? Is it funny? Do we mock? We talk among ourselves and laugh and kid and joke? Would that be the same thing as treating something that is holy as unholy? God's Word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Paul talked about the fact that these Thessalonians, he said, I constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God. I have a rule in my 10th grade Bible class. When we're reading the Word of God, or when someone's quoted a memory verse, we have a lot of those, and they quote memory verses, everybody else, keep your mouth shut. Be respectful. God's Word is being spoken. You know where I first learned that? From my daddy. My daddy was a disciplinarian. And back when I was little, he was God. To me, he was God. You understand what I'm saying? And when he spoke, I wasn't supposed to be talking. And when he spoke, I did what he said do. No questions. None of that. But Dad. No, well, I rephrase that. I did do that a couple of times. Then later on when I woke back up, you know, I learned not to do that. Should you fear your parents? Should you respect your parents? Should you honor your parents? Some have suggested the very fact that in the home today, the deterioration of our society begins in the home where fathers are just not teaching their children to respect and appreciate them. Because it's at home when you learn to respect and appreciate your father that you learn to respect and appreciate and obey God. Because God said, if you disobey your parents, is that okay? Is that cool? I was preaching in a meeting one time and had all the young people, they were sitting up front and we was doing a lesson about obeying your parents and honoring your parents and all this so forth. And I read back in the Old Testament where it talked about, you know, a child that would dishonor their parent or, you know, speak ugly to their parent or to curse their parents, they would be taken outside of the city and to be, you know, or outside of the meeting place and to be stoned. And this little redheaded kid was sitting up there, and his eyes were about this big. And he spoke up and he said, Bruce Lee, he said, man, I'm glad we don't live back there under them old times. I said, why's that? He said, I'd done been dead. I wonder, how many kids would be living today if we followed the law? The old law. Cursing your parents? Hitting your parents. Well, Christ's kingdom is that which is to be appreciated, honored, and respected. And we are talking about, in the Sermon on the Mount, we are talking about disciples in God's kingdom. In chapter 12 and verse 28, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. You know who we are? We're God's people. Show some respect. Wear the name of Christ with fear and reverence of who you are and who you serve. Don't take it lightly. Don't profane it. Don't disregard it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You think you know what the word hallowed means now? Think maybe you've got an idea? It means to make holy or to sanctify. Whether I say those words or not, God is holy. We address God not as the old man upstairs. Hey, bud. but hallowed be thy name. And that comes from an attitude of respect and reverence and honor of who you're addressing. May I just for a moment to step aside, and when we talk about how we use God's name in vain so many times, using various euphemisms and using God in some kind of ugly phrase, or using Jesus in some kind of ugly phrase, do you understand what you're doing? You're committing a heinous crime. It's not funny. It's not acceptable to God in any way. When you have those beautiful words of God and Jesus roll off of your lips, it better be fear and respect and reverence, not cursing. Why? Because God is God. He deserves it. And we should be respectful. The parable of Jesus, and I don't have really time to talk much. What time did you say the bell's going to ring? 10:15. Oh, I can cover a whole bunch of stuff by then. One of the parables of Jesus, and we don't have time to read it, but in Luke 18, verses 1 through 8, there's the wicked judge, you know, the woman that comes and keeps aggravating him and so forth and so on. And he says, a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. He even says of himself, I do not fear God nor respect man. I want us to trash our government and so forth and so on, but are there judges like that today? Does it affect the people? Does it affect our society? Anytime any single person, judge, not judge, king, no king, has the attitude of no respect for God nor of man, it's a really bad thing. Even if we don't like who's president, be respectful. Why? Because there is no one in any position of authority in this world that God hasn't put there. I don't understand it. I don't have to understand it. God is higher than me. He knows more than me. He's running this whole universe. And there's a rhyme and a reason to what He does. Be respectful of that. Rulers as well as every soul is going to be judged by how we help others. This Matthew 25 passage, the sheep and the goat and so forth and so on, the idea of seeing me in prison and being hungry and being naked and so forth and so on. I just want you to take a quick notice here, and I hope you understand my point here that I'm making. Within that setting of the judgment day, there's not one word said about praying for someone. Now, do I think you should pray for others? Yes, the Bible teaches that many places. But you know what God's word is really, really high on? Doing. Should we pray for someone that is in need? Yes. That's important. But what is essential? Doing for them. Do you know what you're going to be judged by? What you've done. We will also be judged by how you treat God. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, Paul made it pretty clear about the ancient world and why it was in the mess it was. And I think when we read a few of these verses, it's going to sound familiar. Romans chapter 1, beginning of verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them." Did you know humanity is without excuse across the board, across this planet? Without excuse about knowing about God. Not only has God made it evident to them, He has made it evident in them. You know, there's an innate thought process in every human being to look up. Something greater. God put that there. God has revealed His will to man. Now, there's been lots and lots of consequences of generation after generation and race after race not teaching God's Word. And there's people that rise up that don't know anything about God. And some parents and some great-grandparents and some great-great-great-grandparents are going to have to be judged by that. But did you notice here what else Paul talks about? He says, verse 20, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have clearly been seen, been understood through what has been made, so they are without excuse." It's still amazing to me that any normal thinking human being can go out on a very dark night and look up into the sky and see the billions and billions of stars and conclude that that was just accidental. Truly, the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." But Paul goes on to say, verse 22, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools." That is so very, very true even today. People know God, but they don't honor Him as God, nor do they give thanks. The conclusion is, hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What did the wise men say? "Fear God and keep His commandments." Quick little story. Been teaching the book of Revelation to the ladies' Bible class. Just finished up this past week. And when we were studying in the beginning of the book of Revelation, and we were in chapters 4 and 5, and it's the throne scene, and all the celestial beings there, the four living creatures, and all of this, they're all bowing down before God and worshiping God and singing praise to God and so forth and so on. My wife made the comment. She says, "You know, when I picture that in my mind," she said, it's changed the way I pray." Have you ever stopped to imagine what God looks like? Have you imagined all of those celestial beings? When they are before God, they are bowing. They are worshiping. They are praising Him. Should our life be any different? "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." Get that? The rest of your life would be a lot easier. Show some respect. Do what he says. The wise man said, this is the whole duty or purpose of man. Well, that's what I come to tell you. Thank you.